Moncrief on News Talk.
As Winston Churchill once famously said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other ones that have been tried. Barring some unforeseen government crisis, our next election will be for our new president. But it comes at a time when faith in democratic norms is eroding all around Europe. According to one European poll, less than 60% of young people feel that democracy is best. Dr. Eileen Cullerty from the DCU Institute for Media, Democracy and Society feels there's a job of work to be done to bolster faith in our democratic structures. Eileen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, a lot of people might say that in Ireland, even they might have less of faith in democracy than perhaps people used to. Isn't part of reason that it's just that our government is terrible?
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of studies over the years now on people's faith in democracy. And generally, most people, thankfully, still believe that democracy is the best form of government, but they're disillusioned with how it's working or failing to work for them. So those are like big systemic issues. And then if you think about, say, elections in Ireland, like presidential elections are nasty affairs at the best of times. But this one is going to happen against this backdrop of fear around disinformation and growing division and the erosion of democratic rights in other countries and foreign interference and all of these things. So I think in Ireland, it's important that we try and focus in on this democratic renewal issue before we end up in the scenario that other countries are in.
Yeah, though it's hard to make that argument when you say our government is presiding over a housing crisis. They should have done something 20 years ago. We have a children's hospital that took the cost a multiple of what it was supposed to cost, but took far longer than was supposed to be built. We're supposed to have Metro North that isn't going anywhere. The list goes on and on. And so you can't, well, democracy is really great, where there might be a sneaking suspicion, you know, that old Michael O'Leary should run the country saw that you hear every now and again. There might be a sneaking suspicion that it mightn't be the best form of government because it's not producing results.
Well, like anything, I think you have to separate the principle of what democracy is and its alternatives from its failure. And really, I don't disagree about all of those failings. They're definitely things we should be disappointed and angry about, but they're not unique to Ireland. There is, particularly since the global crash, that there's a real failure of states to deliver what were fairly basic expectations of people in democratic societies. So I think we have to think about that from a more systemic perspective. But the basic idea that we should, by virtue of being born in a country and citizens of a country, have rights to vote in and say and a say in what happens in that country, I think most people still do believe in that.
Yeah. So how many people will get out and bat on behalf of it? Because it's difficult to make that argument.
Well, this is the thing. I think, unfortunately, I teach undergraduates and postgraduates, and one of the first things I ask them is, you know, why do we want to live in a democracy? And I always find it quite shocking that they can't answer that question, because I think we teach people about democracy in a very narrow way, as you go and vote and there are X number of TDs in the doll and all of these kinds of things. But the reality is that democracy has to be about citizen participation and say. And in Ireland, we have a very, very centralised democracies. You know, town councils were abolished over 10 years ago. County councils have very little power. So even though we have quite a cohesive society, I think people are quite involved and have a lot of initiative. They can't actually take that and enact that in a local level. And it's interesting to think about, you know, those protests that we've seen all over the country against IPAS centres, how those might have played out if there had been town councils and if county councils had more powers and people could go to local and discuss things at a local level.
But the one could say if those things had existed, there'd be no IPAS centres anywhere.
Or maybe people would have gone and made the argument to people about why they were needed or why this was being done, rather than lots of rumours circulating around and people with political actors at the local level not knowing what was going on.
Yeah, there is. But we see, we don't. The thing about, and that accusation is often made, and it's, you know, it's an established fact, there's massive amounts of disinformation online, but it's kind of not really clear how much effect that has, other than, you know, relatively smaller amounts of people whose faces you'd recognise turn up at these protests a lot.
Exactly. And I think in this whole, you know, not just in Ireland, across Europe and beyond, this whole crisis of democracy, there's a tendency for policymakers and officials to focus on the symptoms rather than the causes. And they often zone in on disinformation. So if we can get rid of this disinformation on TikTok or on Facebook, everything will be fine. And I think that's a mistake, that democratic renewal has to come from the ground up. And even with things like disinformation, like, it's often controversial, or there's lots of grey areas, people have different views. And it's one thing for an official or a journalist to say, actually, these are the rules about how you get on the ballot for the presidential election. And it's good that they do that. It would be another thing if you can go to your hairdresser or you're at the under 10 football match and the coach is able to tell you, actually, these are the rules. And I think that, you know, it's in those day to day, everyday interactions that that's where democracy actually lives or dies, not so much the top down stuff.
Yeah, well, I suppose a lot of that is framing, how someone will frame the rules about getting a presidential nomination as a way of keeping power within the main political parties, etc. Would you be of the view that, to a certain extent, there's not that much we can do about disinformation, because you're always trying to counter it after the fact? And therefore, there's always going to be a bit of that to a greater or lesser extent, that's going to leach into an election campaign of any sort.
Yeah, and there's always been disinformation, and there's always been rumours, and there always will be. But it's, say, with that idea of who is entitled or what are the procedures to get on the ballot for the presidential election, those are just rules. And the more people that know those rules, then the less likely disinformation is to take off in the first place. So there's some of that stuff that I think we could get ahead of simply by making sure more people are aware of the basic rules of how things work in this country. And then they can disagree all they want about whether the rules should be changed and what's fair and what isn't. But if you're increasing the basic knowledge level of people, you're less likely to end up scenarios where rumours take hold and then some official has to come out, and that official will be accused of just being elite and so on.
Mm, and when you ask your new students about democracy, do you get a sense that perhaps they don't know enough about the systems in place, that they're perhaps at second level education, they haven't been given any kind of civics class or enough of a civics education?
I think they do, but it seems very formulaic. So like I said, they can tell you how many TDs are in the Dáil, how long the terms are and all of that type of process stuff. But a more general thing, like the question I usually ask is, if the alien lands, why are you telling the alien they want to live in a democracy? And they're just kind of stumped. And it reminds me, in a way, of, if you remember after 9/11, you often heard this term freedom in the US. You know, it was just almost this nonsense word, like, where it had all this value and going, OK, we value freedom. But what did it actually mean? No one ever seems to know. And I think democracy's almost become like that for some people, that they know we're supposed to value it, but they couldn't actually tell you in two or three sentences, you know, what is it? Why do we care about it?
Yeah. And actually, democracy is far easier to define, I would have thought, than freedom. Because, you know, as you say, it's kind of such a large term. It can mean a million different things to a million different people. The fact that, you know, as you pointed out earlier on, town councils were abolished, and has been within the history of the state somewhat of a centralizing process going on in terms of political power. So is your idea we should kind of re-establish some of that?
Well, I think there is a proposal to re-establish town councils, which would be good, and also to decentralise and give more power to county councils as well. But in a piece I wrote with David Farrell from UCD, our idea was that citizens could have a greater role around elections in, say, the Electoral Commission, in terms of responding to disinformation. So the Electoral Commission has the power to respond to, say, disinformation about the electoral process. Somebody is putting out false claims about how you vote or so on. But, you know, you could have citizens who've already gone through, say, a citizen assembly process, and they've demonstrated ordinary people can listen to complicated information. They can come to conclusions about what they think is fair or reasonable, and they can disagree fairly as well. But why not give citizens a role in that instead of it just being elect nameless election officials that, you know, then are going to be accused of being elite, can be folded into these narratives? And it would just be more democratically sound to involve people.
Yeah. But that, would that be a permanent body of people whose job is to counter misinformation all the time?
No, but like citizen assemblies, the way they're selected is it's a bit like a jury. So there's a random selection and people are invited to participate. I think the advantage maybe of taking people who've gone through the citizen assembly route is maybe they've been used to some of those procedures. I think what's very important is that it's a diverse group of people, particularly, you know, when you think of there's some disinformation that's really obvious and it's very easy to prove that it's wrong. But a lot of stuff falls into grey areas and people, it's important to hear people's different views on it and to not end up with a consensus that just, you know, can decide, oh, we're going to call that extremist. Somebody else might think that isn't that extreme. And I think that type of stuff needs to be thrashed out in some kind of reasonable structure.
Yeah. Although I suppose that's a debate for a wider society. But if and correct me if I'm wrong, what seems to be implicit in what you're saying is that we can have debates about things in good faith with each other. I don't know, does that good faith exist or is it crumbling rapidly?
Well, I think this is why it's urgent in Ireland, because I think you still can have debates in good faith. But I was recently talking to somebody from Poland who just described their society as being so polarised. It doesn't matter now whether, you know, the candidate from the left, right or centre wins the election. The others will contest it anyway. And I think that's the point that we need to be concerned about. And I'd come back to the idea that we do have a pretty cohesive society and communities where people do get along. And that's why involving more citizens, more democratic participation at the local level could be a way that we avoid the path that other countries have gone down.
Mm. But I mean, we still have, and I suppose Ireland would be unusual in this, we have access to our elected representatives in that most TDs will still hold a clinic and that kind of thing.
We do, but there's been some pretty shocking reports in the last few years about politicians not holding clinics or even being advised by the Gardaí not to host clinics because of threats they were receiving. So there is a turning happening, and I think that's why it's quite urgent that we do something now.
Yeah. But in terms of if you have citizens' assemblies tackling misinformation, and that's, you know, and that sounds like a worthy idea, but how will those bodies restore people's faith in democracy if in, you know, that European poll I mentioned at the start of this piece, that a lot of the problem seems to be in kind of young people can't get a place to live, the same as in Ireland, wealth disparities, the same as in Ireland, and those kind of fundamental problems will still be there.
Oh, absolutely. Like this isn't going to I think disinformation is a symptom rather than a cause. And trying to address disinformation isn't in itself going to do anything about those deeper systemic issues. But that's where, as democratic citizens, we need to demand more from our politicians and from Europe itself. You know?
Eileen, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Eileen Cullerty there, Assistant Professor in the School of Communications and Deputy Director of the DCU Institute for Media, Democracy and Society. A few comments from people. The whole of the West could really do with switching to some sort of direct democracy before it's too late, says one texter. Yeah, and, you know, in Switzerland, famously, they do that. And I suppose that's kind of slightly what Eileen was touching on there. As with a lot of Churchill's quotes, he robbed that one from some other guy. He also liked to pilfer from Victor Hugo when the mood took him. Well, indeed, I've no doubt that's true. But I suppose the quote is more is most famously associated with Winston Churchill. Is it maybe representative democracy isn't working, says another text. The representatives are professional politicians and they don't represent the people in terms of their experiences. We should go back to the original democracy of sortition and electing people by lottery. By lottery. Mightn't sound so good, I don't know. I think we only have this turn away from democracy because people haven't really conceptualised what the alternative would really be like, says another text. So, well, it's true, and I suppose it's not insignificant that poll was among younger Europeans. who wouldn't have, if you like, a folk memory of what it was like in certain parts of Europe when there was no democracy. And Martin says, are we missing a genuine working class party? The left went, for want of a better word, a little too woke. And the right went really right. I think most of, or like Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, the two biggest parties in the States, more or less, if you stick them together, are centrist parties. Sinn Féin would be a centre-left party. Now, I suppose, I don't know if we have an extreme right-wing parties in this country. Now, maybe you could say that some of the centre-left parties went a bit middle-class in their presentation, and that certainly might be an issue for them. Another texter says it's the quality of the people that go into politics on all sides and public institutions that is the problem. It's not the system. Then again, who'd want to be a politician in this day and age? Because the abuse you get and, you know, that kind of that attitude that you're all kind of a bit kind of dodgy. Rationality is a way around disinformation, says another texter, but we don't seem to teach that to our kids. We're too busy trying to get them equipped to do a safe job in finance or IT rather than actually helping them think. Well, that is an excellent point. And I don't know if Eileen would say it. I wouldn't want to be putting words in her mouth, but it's a thing that's reported by a third level teachers all the time, that they find that students are very good at regurgitating information, but they can't really analyse it because they weren't taught to do that or encouraged to do that. Are we missing? Oh, yeah, I read the one out already. A lot of critical thinking skills need to be on the school curriculum. Somebody else says, do mention how being part of the EU is the opposite of localised democracy. Look at how the EU is acting as a military bloc, funding the war in Ukraine, and the head of the EU calling for its continuation. We have no say other than to rubber stamp that. Look at how Hungary was threatened, says it. It might be a bit far to say they're funding the war in Ukraine, and probably there would be, and I'm sure there would be a consensus among most countries in Europe that what they're actually doing is acting out of self-interest, because a lot of European countries feel directly threatened by Russia. And later on in the show, we will be doing a piece about in Lithuania, which borders Russia, that they're going to start teaching kids how to make drones because they're that worried about it. And Kevin says, Sean, how do you know you aren't complicit in broadcasting of disinformation throughout your career? Is it not only in hindsight we know the answer to that, as you can't be right all the time, or maybe you can? No, of course you can't be right all the time. You'd hope to be right most of the time. I suppose the difference between, I suppose, what I might say on air or what might happen in a professional broadcasting organisation or, you know, a newspaper journalists, as we used to call them, is that you know those people. You can eyeball them. Whereas, you know, some Kevin Irish Flag 4372 on social media, you have no idea who that person is and whether they're just whether they've actually done any original research when they've gone out to talk to people and found out facts for themselves, or whether they're just making it up. I think if you know the person, there's a better chance you know whether they're telling you the truth or not.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.